Today on The Journey.
We're going to take all our confusion, we're going to take all our fears, and we're going to take all our questions and our anxiety and our loneliness, the feeling of being overwhelmed, and we're going to anchor them in Jesus, the anchor of our soul.
When the winds of adversity blow through your soul, your first question is often the most unanswerable. The aching question, why? Today, in a message to mothers, Ron Moore reveals a better question and the secret truth that will calm the furious storm in your heart. Just before that, please note a booklet we want to send to you. Sinister voices, external and internal, positive and negative, can halt your growth in Christ. But Ron will teach you how to defeat them in his powerful publication, Overcoming Doubt, Fear, and Discouragement. Get yours for a donation of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with the message, Anchored in Jesus, on The Journey.
Well, the first thing I want to do is just to say Happy Mother's Day. Mothers, we love you, we appreciate you, and we are so thankful for you. Now, I know in normal times, you are really, really busy. And now, many of you are doing your job at home while taking care of kids. You're homeschooling. You're burning the candle from one end to the other. And we know that you're doing so much as unto the Lord as you raise your kids. Now, I did see this on Facebook. Parents, how's homeschooling going? One mother wrote, "You lied. My kids are not a joy to have in class." We know that it's going to be a challenge for you as you are doing so many things at home. But we also know this. We have been talking about this for a long time. Now we're experiencing the home is the hub of worship, and the home is the hub of teaching. And you've always been the primary teachers of your kids. And we are so thankful for what you're doing, so thankful for you. Happy Mother's Day. Have a great weekend. So, Father, we thank you for every mother. We thank you for what you're doing in our homes. We do thank you, Lord, that you are causing us to experience that the home is the hub of worship. The home is the hub of discipleship. And we pray, Father, that you would be with every mom. Bless them, encourage them. Lord, give them physical strength as well as the spiritual strength and emotional strength they need to do what you've called them to do, this critical assignment. Father, we thank you for our day. We pray that you would bless us as we look at your word. Teach us as only you can do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Glenn Chambers was this young man with a big dream. He wanted to work with a radio ministry called Voice of the Andes, and he desired to take the message of Jesus Christ over the airwaves to people who normally or otherwise wouldn't be able to hear it. He raised all his support, and he got ready to go, and he was at the Miami airport getting ready to board the plane to start his journey to Ecuador. So he said, "I want to write a note to my mom." And he couldn't find anything on his person or in his backpack. And so he looked on the floor and he saw this scrap of paper. It was actually an advertisement. And the advertisement had right in the middle of it just the word why. W-H-Y. So Chambers wrote a note. He wrote on one side on the top, down the other side on the bottom, this note to his mom, put it in an envelope, and then stuck it in the mailbox at the airport. Got on the plane and headed to Ecuador. But Glenn Chambers never made it to Ecuador. His plane crashed in a mountain peak right outside of Bogota, Colombia. And by the time his mom got that letter, she already had a broken heart. She already knew her son was dead. And when she opened that envelope, there staring up at her was that word, why? It's a penetrating question, isn't it? And it's a question that follows us throughout our lives. We wake up with a pain in our side, and it stays there for a few days, and then we go to the doctor, and then we learn that we have surgery and chemo and radiation. Things are going well in our lives, and then all of a sudden, boom, we're just blindsided, and there's a broken relationship, and we ask, why? What's going on? I do know that for some of you, Mother's Day is the hardest day of the year. You so desire to have a child, and to this point in your life, God hasn't let that happen yet. Or maybe you know that he's not, and you ask why. Or maybe you've lost a child. Why? Maybe you want to be a mom, and God hadn't led you to the right person yet. And you're saying, God, what are you doing? Why? How long? In our country, many people are asking the question, why? 70,000 people have died alone from the coronavirus. Think of what's going on in so many families around our country. And along with the physical deaths, there have been deaths of businesses and careers and jobs and dreams. Graduations have been put on hold. The job market basically has dried up. Many of you had weddings planned and you had to postpone them. And one of the saddest things, when we do funerals, a funeral is a celebration of life. We usually pack it out here at our campus in our worship center. And it's a celebration of life and favorite songs are sung. And people get up and they share the message. And those funerals, those celebrations of life have been reduced to a few people standing around a grave at a cemetery outdoors with masks on. I did a graveside the other day and I said, hey, let's all gather around. And I realized we can't do that, can we? We have to stay apart. And so we asked the question, why? People are hurting. People are confused. People are afraid. And they're asking the question, why? And as our theme verse, we're going to use a passage from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. And that verse just tells us that Jesus is our sure and steadfast anchor of our soul. And we're going to take all our confusion, and we're going to take all our fears, and we're going to take all our questions and our anxiety and our loneliness, the feeling of being overwhelmed. We're going to take all those and we're going to anchor them in Jesus, the anchor of our soul. Now, we're going to get to that Hebrews passage here in a second, but before we do, I want us to look at an amazing story in Scripture. It's in John chapter 9, and it's a story about Jesus and his disciples, and they're asking the question, why? And we learn so much from the story. As they passed by, they saw a man blind from birth. So Jesus and his disciples, John chapter 9, they're walking down the road and they see this man sitting by the road. He's probably begging. He's blind. And they learn that this man was born blind. And look at verse 2. His disciples ask him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? You see, in that thinking, and in our thinking a lot of times, there has to be a cause and effect. This happened, so this happened. This happened, so this happened. A cause and effect. And the disciples say, who sinned? Now, it's an interesting question, isn't it? Because the man was born blind. So how could he have sinned before he was born? A lot of commentators have some ideas about that. Maybe they thought God looked down the tunnel of time and knew that this guy would do something bad. And so God said, I'm just going to pre-punish you. Or maybe he sinned in the womb. How would you do that? But that's a possibility. At least asking the question, did this man sin? Or maybe his parents sinned. So who sinned? There's got to be a cause and effect. If this man is blind, then something had to happen to cause that. We ask the same type of questions, don't we? We want to know why. If this happens in our life, God, why did you do this? How long is this going to happen? God, I want an answer. What's going on? And if I don't get an answer, then we conclude that God, maybe he doesn't care about us. Or he really isn't as powerful as we thought. Or maybe he's unfair. We always ask the question, why? Now, this is interesting because Jesus doesn't answer the question. Look what he says in verse 3. It is not that this man sinned or his parents. Jesus said neither of them sinned, but that the works of God may be displayed in him. Now, let's just think about that. Jesus said, no cause and effect here, guys. The man didn't sin. That's not why he's blind. And his parents, they didn't sin, so he's blind. Neither of them sinned. But here's the inherent truth in what he says there. He didn't sin. His parents didn't sin. There is no cause and effect in this situation. And what's Jesus saying inherently here? Jesus is just saying, we live in a sinful world. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, everything's great. Everything's perfect. In Genesis 3, the door was opened and sin rushes in the door. It permeates everything around us. It permeates nature. Nature groans now under the weight of sin. It permeates our heart. Sin is all around us. We live in a sinful world, and sometimes just unfair things happen in our life because we live in this world. You see, sin is the ultimate coronavirus. 100% of people are infected by sin, and 100% of people are going to die because of sin. And if you're a people person, sometimes a person, you know that they have the virus, right? You know they are sinners. When you get through talking to them, man, you get the fever. And then sometimes they look asymptomatic. You can't really tell, but all of us have it. All of us are infected. In fact, Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says this, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, Adam, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. The world is saturated by sin. So Jesus is saying, if you're looking for a cause and effect, you're not going to find it every time. There may not be an answer to the why. Jesus says, we just live in this world. It's a sin-saturated world. The virus is there. So neither this man nor his parents sinned, but look what Jesus says. But that the works of God might be displayed in him. This man's situation has occurred. It's here. It's present. So that the works of God might be displayed in him. And then Jesus says, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. Jesus is saying, the day is the opportunity. We have an opportunity. It's not always going to be there. The night's coming. There's a limit to our opportunity. But while the opportunity is there, while we're living in this situation that we're in, we have the opportunity to demonstrate the power of God in our lives. We have the opportunity to demonstrate the works of God while it is day. We don't know the answer why. We could spend the rest of our life trying to figure out the answer to why. The situation is here, and God's going to use it to display his works through us. Jesus said, verse 5, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Right now I'm here. I'm the light of the world. I'm not always going to be here. But then Jesus will say later, you are the light of the world. You're the one who takes the message of Christ. You get to display the works of God in terrible situations. You get to show the world during the opportunities that God places on you. Sometimes they're difficult opportunities, but you get to display the works of God. Now check this out. Look at verse 6. In verse 6, he spits on the ground in the dirt, and he makes an ointment, and he puts it on the man's eyes. And then he tells the man, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And the man did, and he came back seeing. I just want to think about that for a second. Jesus spits in the dirt, and he makes a healing ointment. Think about it. Dirt represents what we return to, right? From dust we came, to dust we return. It represents death. And Jesus takes the dirt, and he spits in it. And he can make a healing ointment out of dirt, puts it on the man's eyes, and he sees. Here's the point I want us to see from John chapter 9. Jesus transforms the mess of sin and uses it to display God's mighty power. Jesus transforms the mess of my sin, and my sin is a mess. I don't know all the whys. I just know I am dirty inside and out. And Jesus takes that mess and he transforms it and shows his mighty power. I don't know what you're going through right now. It may be pretty messy. You may be going through some challenging times, but God's going to take the mess. And when he interacts with it, he makes it a healing ointment. Think about that. Whatever you're going through, maybe COVID-related or not, because he's the anchor of your soul. He can take that mess and he makes it a healing ointment, and he can display the powerful works of God. Okay, tell you a quick story. So our daughter, Mackenzie, graduated from college last year, and she's looking for a job, and she wanted to work for Samaritan's Purse located in Boone, North Carolina. So she goes and interviews in Boone, North Carolina, Samaritan's Purse, and guess what? Didn't get the job. And so she's disappointed, and we're disappointed, and then she moves back to Pittsburgh, and that's great, so we get to be with her a little bit, and she gets a job in Pittsburgh, great job. She's living the Pittsburgh dream, right? Downtown Pittsburgh, riding the T back and forth, and then the coronavirus hits, and she gets furloughed. And so, with my wisdom, I say, Mackenzie, just think about this. Had you been in Boone, North Carolina, and this had hit, and you had gotten laid off, you would be by yourself, having to stay in a little apartment. You couldn't be home with us. That's why you didn't get that job with Samaritan's Purse. When I was studying for this sermon, I was running one morning, and I've never heard an audible voice from God, but it was like he said, remember what you told Mackenzie? You just wanted to make that nice and tidy. You just wanted to say, oh, that's the reason. That's it. Now we get it. And he was saying, well, what do you know? She could have gone there. She could have gotten the job. She could have made friends. She could have been traveling with Samaritan's Purse around the world. What do you know? How do you know why? Your job's not to know why. Your job's just to encourage her and help her display the glory of God, the power of God, during this time in her life when she had this other job and now she's furloughed. You see, we don't always get to know the whys. We just have to know, God, here it is, and I'm going to do what you're calling me to do. I am going to display your power in my life. We can only do that when we are anchored in Jesus. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. We, talking about believers, we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. We have this, and this is the works of Jesus, the person of Jesus. We have Jesus as the sure and steadfast anchor of our soul. Now, let's just think about it a little bit. We have Jesus as the sure and steadfast anchor of our soul. First of all, the word anchor. What a beautiful symbol of Jesus. Before the cross was a symbol, or the fish was a symbol, the anchor was a symbol of the Christian life. The anchor keeps the boat steady in the storm. It doesn't allow the boat to drift. Jesus is the anchor. If you go to the early Christian gravesites, you can see engraved in some of the stones. They found about 60 Christian tombstones with an anchor engraved in those. Jesus is the anchor of the soul. Soul, the innermost part of us, the deepest part of us. Jesus is the anchor of our soul. And he is sure and steadfast. He is the one who keeps us steady. Sure means not to totter. You like a teeter-totter? We don't teeter-totter when we have Jesus as anchor. We are steady. We hold fast. And steadfast means it's a platform. If you walk on this platform, it doesn't break through. It holds you up. So we have Jesus as this anchor, this sure and steadfast anchor of our soul. He's the one who holds us up. He's the one who keeps us steady. He's the one we can depend on every day of our life. We don't have to know all the answers to the why. When we anchor ourselves in Jesus, then we can display the glory of God in every aspect of our life. All right, three how-tos about Jesus being the anchor of our soul. First, trust in Jesus as the anchor of your soul. Have you trusted in Jesus alone as the only way to have a relationship with the living God? That's where it starts. If you've not trusted in Jesus, email me, rmoore@biblechapel.org. We'll talk about what it means to trust in Jesus. He is the anchor of our soul. You can trust in him. He came to die for your sins. He came to do for you what you couldn't do for yourself. Just imagine you had coronavirus and you're having a hard time breathing. You have fever. You got the chills. You get the whole bit. They put you in the hospital. And think if someone could come in and say, look, you got the disease, but we're going to hook a machine up and we're going to transfer the coronavirus to this other person. They're going to die, but you're going to live. That's what Jesus did for us. Again, sin is the ultimate coronavirus. We've got the disease. And Jesus came and he did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. If you haven't trusted in Christ, please reach out to us. rmoore@biblechapel.org. And I'll get you with the right person because we want you to know for sure that you've trusted in Jesus Christ alone as the only way to have a relationship with the living God. So that's where this anchor begins, trusting in Christ. Now, if you've trusted in Christ, the second thing is act like it. Walk with Jesus as the anchor of your soul. What does that look like? What does that feel like? Where do we go to Scripture to make sure we are walking with Jesus? Just one verse right here. It's Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Since then, we have a great high priest, that's Jesus, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. We can hold fast to what we know to be true. Believers, the world is watching. We need to hold fast to what we know is true. For we don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. He's the one we go to. He's the one we gain confidence from. He's the anchor so that we can demonstrate to this watching world what it looks like to be in our situation without knowing all the whys, and let God's glory, God's power be demonstrated through us. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Man, what a passage. Jot that one down. Memorize that one. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Now, a couple of questions. Number one, are you reading the Bible more than you're watching the news? That's the first question. If you want to be confused, just keep watching the news. But if you want to be anchored in Jesus, go to his word, see what he has to say, read passages like Hebrews chapter 4, 14 through 16, and get into his word. And here's the other one. Are you praying in more depth now than pre-COVID-19? Are you going through his throne with confidence? Are you finding the mercy and strength you need there? We can't do it on our own. Here's the last one. Let the end of the story impact your present story. I got to tell you something, just keep this as a secret. We win. As believers, we win. We never forget the end of the story. We live today with the end of the story in mind. We win.
Do voices of discouragement, doubt, and ridicule from past and present hound your days and gnaw at your sleep? While those persistent taunts that question your abilities, wisdom, and resources can keep you from reaching your full potential in Christ. So in his booklet, Overcoming Doubt, Fear, and Discouragement, Ron Moore helps you to isolate the causes of such doubt and fear and defeat them in God's strength. There you'll discover an exciting new vision for the work Christ has prepared for you to do. Overcoming Doubt, Fear, and Discouragement is yours for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on The Journey.